Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
Well, he knows we'll that tune. Noah Weisberg is here. Noah Weisberg from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Well, that's number one on the hit list for sure. How are you, Noah?
Hey there. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Where are you from, Noah?
I grew up in Northbrook.
Uh-huh.
And spent my weekends in the city.
Well, what do you mean by that? What did you do? Like when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, when I was a kid. So my parents, you know, in sort of the most beautiful way a family can get separated, can get divorced, they did it and remain great friends. But in doing so, I had my regular school in the suburbs in Northbrook. And then on the weekends, I was with my dad, you know, went to religious school out there and lived in Marina Towers for years, and then over in another area closer, like on Lakeshore Drive. So got to sort of have the best of both worlds in Chicago.
So I was in one apartment in Marina City, and it had the weirdest layout. And it kind of was like almost a circle, but not a circle.
Yeah.
Tell me about the apartments in Marina City. I think that's interesting in of itself.
Yeah. I mean, as a kid growing up there, it was the coolest because we were high up. So we would take my dad's business cards and fold them like a little paper airplane and throw them off. And that would give us like 15 minutes of entertainment just watching them glide down.
Yeah.
Which was probably horrible if you're walking down the street and some attorney's, you know, business cards are dropping on your head.
Well, it's a way to get business, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're not chasing ambulances. You're just letting your business cards fall.
Yeah.
And then my brother and I would just run in circles in the public hallway because it was like a racetrack for us. And yeah, the apartments were kind of odd. You had that circular exterior, but the interiors didn't sort of play up that effect. So it seemed like a more of a traditional apartment.
Yeah, interesting.
And
I remember the one I visited had like no closet space. I remember, if I remember right. Don't know if your dad's apartment was like that or not.
I don't remember. I remember the kitchen being kind of closed off.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is all before everyone wanted everything to be open concept. And I remember the bath, like the sink area being very open, and the bathroom itself being in a tiny little room.
Well, yeah, it's such an iconic building that I can't help but ask that. But I want to ask about Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. So this is cool. You eventually, from Northbrook, end up in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And boy, you've got an amazing career going for yourself. And isn't there one of that series? Isn't it on tonight, actually?
Yeah, so this is our second season of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on NBC. And it streams the next day on Hulu and on the Peacock app, which is their streaming app.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight is our season finale for season two. And I'm very lucky to get to be a part of the show. I play the boss on the show, the CEO of the company that Zoe works at.
And I wonder what's going to happen. I bet you cannot tell us, but I'm going to try to weasel it out of you when we come back. And I also want to talk about a movie you have coming up and how one kind of makes it like you have done in, as I said, Hollywood, when we come back on WGN. On the phone is Noah Weisberg, Chicago's own, yay, actor in Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. What is the show about in general for folks who haven't seen this show, which I believe is on NBC?
Yes. So it is about a young tech, a lady who works in tech, whose father in season one has a brain condition. She's nervous she has that same brain condition, so she goes and gets a CAT scan. While that happens, during the CAT scan, through the power of TV magic, she sort of gains these special powers that allows her to hear and see everyone's inner emotions, what they're really thinking, through song. So if she's at a coffee shop and someone seems really jovial and happy, she might start to hear a song play and look over, and that person's actually singing a brokenhearted love song about what they're actually feeling. So the show itself is about dealing with loss and finding new beginnings. And it is equal parts funny and also heartbreaking. Every time I watch, I think, oh, this is really great. There's singing, there's dancing, and then I'm crying at the end. I'm really proud of the show, not just because I'm on it. I feel lucky to be on it, but I'm really proud of the work that everyone does on the show.
How did you get to be on it?
So a lot of the audition, I had just finished the Broadway tour of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I sent in an audition tape from home because a lot of things are, you don't have to go into the studio to audition as much anymore. Sent in the tape on a Thursday and found out the following Monday that I got the job. That was for season one. Did a couple episodes that season and then five more so far this season. And we're all hoping for a season three. Because the best, this will sound sort of cliche, but the best thing about this job, besides just getting a job as an actor, which is a crazy thing because we spend most of our time trying to get a job, is that the people on this show, from Austin Winsberg, the creator of the show, to our lead actress, Jane Levy, everybody is so kind and supportive. There's no ego. They're just hardworking people who all feel lucky to have this job, and they're very supportive. So it all started from a tape that I made in my living room in my New York City apartment.
So this job is different than any other show anyone can ever work on if there's no ego involved. But that's a good thing. And you know what? There's kind of a roller coaster. So as you watch the show, for me anyway, it's like a roller coaster of emotions. But even though there are moments I want to pull a tissue out, at the end, I do feel good. Is that the reason? I mean, the show's wildly successful, friends. And if you've not seen it, again, it's Zoe's Extraordinarily. I made it up. Zoe's Extraordinary. It's Extraordinary and Extraordinarily. Playlist. You'll find it on NBC. It's on tonight, as Noah said. But do you think that's part of the secret for the success? It leaves you at the end of the episode, in essence, you feel good?
Yeah, I do. I think so much of the great TV, and I think TV is having a huge moment and has been for years. So much of the stuff that we all love is dark and gritty, and that's great. But there are a few shows that are like ours that make you feel great about life and give you hope. And they deal in a real way with real traumatic situations that we can all relate to. And I think the core of that is because our writer, our creator of our show, Austin Winsberg, this is based on his life. His dad died from this disease that Zoe's dad had. And so everything, while it can be fun and funny, is based in reality because he went through this himself. And yet he came out the other end better, stronger, more connected, probably as a dad and his kids and to his wife, because he's seen his way through this. So it's really uplifting. Again, I would be a fan of the show if I wasn't even on it.
You know, I'm sure you watch Netflix or other streaming services. And by the way, you said Zoe's can be streamed, right?
Yeah, so it's on NBC, 8 o'clock in Chicago tonight. Mm-hmm. And then it streams the next day on Hulu and Peacock.
Right, so you have an opportunity to watch it more than once, or if you miss it here, you can get it over there. But that's not the only show where that's the case. And with the pandemic, I think that there are addictions that are going to come out of it, and one of them may be a Netflix addiction. I'm not sure. But I think, I don't know, is this good for actors, actually? Okay, there's more work out there. I mean, we've watched several Netflix shows that have nothing to do with one another, and you look at that person on screen and say, I just saw that person for 2 weeks on that show over there. Now they're over here. How did they get over there? Is there potentially more work out there as a result?
I am going to make this up, but I think it's true. We used to have the main handful of networks, right? Mm-hmm. Now we have all of these endless streaming opportunities, which means there's the most production ever in the history of TV. Again, I totally made that up, but it has to be true. So that also translates to more opportunities for actors. And I'm a person who loves actors. I appreciate the people that train us, like Dr. Gregory Denhart, who was the head of my children's theater back when I was a little kid in Northbrook, who trained us all so well not to be TV or movie or Broadway stars, but to be people who are confident, who can speak well, who can work as a team. And a few of us have gone on to have careers professionally. And I love how hard actors work because, again, most of our time is spent interviewing, auditioning, trying to get the next job. So these times where we're actually working and making a living and getting health insurance as a union actor, I celebrate it because it doesn't happen all the time. So I think it's a great time for actors to be able to audition, to be able to do it from home, do five different takes and send in your best one. You don't have to be so nervous in the audition in the room. So I think it's a great time. And the writing's so great on all these shows. I mean, a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
They're getting some of the greatest writers.
Five different takes, huh? Well, that's 45 fewer than me. So that's a good thing. So did you always want to be an actor?
I did always want to be an actor, but I never put it together that that's what I was going to do professionally. So I always played sports growing up. I played baseball. In Northbrook, I played golf. And one day my mom said, you know, instead of going back to the Y, which I always enjoyed for summer camp, instead of going to YMCA, you know, there's this theater camp, a summer camp for theater kids. And I thought, you can go to camp for theater? This is the greatest thing ever. So I tried a session there, and that changed everything for me. And it was just show after show after show, and then high school and show choir and all the plays. But I never thought, oh, I'm going to be on Broadway. I'm going to be on a TV show. I just did it. And one day I kind of looked up and I thought, well, I have to apply to college. I want to go to college. What I want to do is going to dictate where I apply. And it was in that moment that I thought, am I really going to do this? You know, we're all trained to work hard and make money and be have something that's secure, which makes sense. And being a theater major doesn't really make sense logically, but it was the only thing I loved to do, the only thing I kind of knew how to do. And I was very fortunate to get into NYU and very fortunate that my parents were able to get into debt to send me there. And it paid off because the acting training there was great. And my best friends in the world, some of them are from there, who I still work with, who are acting, directing, choreographing on Broadway. So that was, things lined up in a very, very lucky way, but I never had the plan. I just sort of had my head down doing all these shows as a kid until it suddenly I had to make it a profession, and I'm grateful I did.
Well, you clearly love the profession. What is it you love about the process of acting?
Yeah. Well, I think people they have the idea that, oh, you get to sort of escape your real life because you get to play all of these other characters. But the truth is, the way that I was trained, let's say at NYU from one of my favorite acting teachers, Larry Singer, is you are exposing more of your true inner self in these roles than people understand, because it's, you're substituting your own life, your own experiences, your own emotions. So when you're on stage, people might see Willy Wonka or Danny Michael Davis in Zoe's, but it's really me exploring my own insecurities and emotions and sense of humor. I love the vulnerability that an actor gets to experience if they're doing it in a truthful way.
Can't that be scary?
Yeah, it is. I mean, one of the scariest parts is just that you're going to be terrible.
Yeah.
So I was just having this conversation. My best friend, I'm in LA right now, and my best friend, Josh Walden, who's a great Broadway actor and choreographer, we were really just having this conversation, how scary it is to put your work out there. And it's the same as a writer, or really in many industries, you put your heart and soul into whatever your job is. And especially when you're an actor, it's your actual face and your heart that you're putting out there. And it's scary to think, what if everyone hates it? So when I talk to younger actors or I teach or that kind of thing, I always just say that risk is possible. So why not put out into the world the thing that you believe in, that even if you go down in flames, you go down doing the thing that you love, that you want to show to the world, as opposed to trying to be somebody else or please everybody. And usually when you take that course, you're being authentic to yourself and the world does appreciate it.
Tell me about Thank You Kindly.
So Thank You Kindly is a movie I wrote and directed and got to act in opposite an amazing actress that we were fortunate enough to cast named Kimiko Glenn. Kimiko has been on Broadway in Waitress and toured in Spring Awakening and done other great things, but I think she's probably best known for being one of the leads on Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about how one night can change your life, two people who meet and become better people by the end of it. And it has made, and is currently, I guess, still making the film festival circuit, those rounds, and then we're looking for a place to have it land so a wider audience can see it. And that's, again, one of those great things where you get to write it and hope people don't hate it.
So we are talking potentially about a Netflix or a Hulu or something like that.
Yeah, or an Amazon or one of those kind of places where people can stream it. And I'm really proud of it. We had, you know, we often talk about people who create jobs, and I can't claim to be that often, but when you make your own thing, you can be someone who pays people and does it, you know, through the union. So it's official and people get credit towards their health insurance and there are certain safety protocols and all that. So we did it full union. We had 18 piece orchestra play an original score by a great young composer. So I'm proud for the world, or excited for the world to see it, and trying to write the next one. Cause that's always the thing too. You do it, you kind of judge yourself. Well, I might've done this differently or that differently. And you put your head down and start to write the next project, which for me is going to be a TV show.
Ooh, all right. Well, think of me, cast me for that TV show. His name is Noah Weisberg. You could watch him tonight, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Noah, so nice to meet you.
You too. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.